Conserving resident trout, particularly in watersheds with wild steelhead, produces genetic integrity that, coupled with preserved or recovered habitats, will go a long way to ensure viable steelhead populations.
There are certainly bigger fish, faster fish, and stronger fish, but few can compare to wild steelhead. They're an icon that embodies strength and resilience. They are a fleeting connection to a wild world that is disappearing before our eyes. Wild steelhead are ingrained with an unrelenting tenacity that enables them to power themselves hundreds of miles upstream, and hooking one is a direct connection to the raw power of nature. Welcome to the Adipose, the voice of the Wild Steelhead Coalition. We steelhead anglers naturally focus on those magnificent bright chrome and crimson summer and winter run adult steelhead just emerging from their time at sea. But this narrow focus typically overlooks a fuller understanding of the complex life history of steelhead. In this episode of the Adipose, we dive into the relationship between wild steelhead and resident rainbow trout with Wild Steelhead Coalition science advisor Guy Fleischer. When is a steelhead not a steelhead? Most anglers listening to this podcast likely have an understanding that the species Oncorhynchus micus exhibits a complex of reproductive behaviors that generally involve summer-run steelhead, winter-run steelhead, and resident rainbow trout that can all spawn in the same river. But is it a case that the twain shall meet? And if not, what differentiates young steelhead from resident rainbow trout in such river systems?
It's complicated. A standard rule of thumb is size. Sizes of steelhead smolts do run around 8 inches, but it's not necessarily simply size, obviously, as this overlaps with young resident rainbow trout. Research has found conclusive evidence that in some populations, non-anadromous females, that is, rainbow trout, produce steelhead, and steelhead females can produce non-anadromous progeny and sex. There are strong theoretical and empirical evidence that females are more apt to benefit from running to the ocean, despite the greater risks in the ocean environment. Besides genetics, there seems to be primarily a metabolic stimulus at work here. More freshwater food, less stimulus to migrate. Skinny fish run to the sea and become steelhead, where fatter fish stay as resident trout.
Across our native range, freshwater residency for steelhead can span anywhere from 1 to up to 4 or more years. The result is that each spawning year produces successive year classes that contribute to the population of resident trout, adding individuals to those previous year classes still residing in the streams. This reproductive strategy builds up a multi-cohort bank of young steelhead and trout in each watershed, literally reproductive money in the bank.
This strategy results in resident steelhead populations that are ecologically tuned to the various conditions in each watershed. A good example is a study of wild fish in the Skagit River, where smolt trapping locations further upstream or at higher elevations had, on average, earlier catch dates than in a lower tributary. Matching this trend was the mainstream trap, where steelhead catch was the latest. Also, the higher elevation and colder water tributaries had more age 4 and age 3 smolts than the other trap sites. Therefore, you can see that steelhead smolt population age structure was different within each sample tributary within the same watershed.
The number of steelhead that survive and return to spawn relative to the number of juveniles that migrate to the ocean is known as the smolt to adult ratio, or SAR. Broadly speaking, SAR is reported to range anywhere from 1 to 10% in wild populations.
It is widely held that a SAR of 4 to 6%, that is, for every 100 smolts, 4 to 6 adults return to spawn, is a highly desired objective for robust populations, where a SAR of 2% is needed just for replacement. the biological equivalent of treading water. Less than 2%, and the ship is sinking. In understanding these rates of return, particularly at the lower levels, it becomes obvious that reductions in the numbers of young fish over their residency can and does have a large impact on the number of returning adults. This necessarily also includes any resident trout, because remember, it's documented that these fish are also important contributors to progeny that eventually become steelhead. It is time we heed these wise words. It needs to be again recognized by all steelhead anglers that this life history phenomenon is a clear strategy that results in population diversity designed to dampen fluctuations in abundance in what scientists call portfolio effect. Conserving resident trout, particularly in watersheds with wild steelhead, produces genetic integrity that, coupled with preserved or recovered habitats, will go a long way to ensure viable steelhead populations, particularly in the face of inevitable environmental variability.
We cannot claim mission accomplished solely by getting fish on gravel. It is at this point that our job has just started, with the need to conserve resident rainbow trout and recognize their contribution to the complex life history of wild steelhead. They are, after all, one and the same. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Adipose and heed the call to join the growing number of advocates who are fighting to create a better future for wild steelhead. We must fight for these fish with the same tenacity and dedication we have in the pursuit of them. Together, we have the power to chart a brighter future for wild steelhead. Please push the subscribe button, take a minute to rate, review, and share. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of The Adipose.